makeup, and then the older you get, I mean, I'm not saying against you, ladies. I'm not being disrespectful. It just takes longer to get fixed. You know, you look good, mighty good when you get through. It does. It just takes longer because you're getting older. You know, and all of us are that way. Us men, bless our hearts, we ain't got nothing we can do for ourselves. Put prettier clothes on our face, ain't nothing we can do with our ugly face and ugly hair. We ain't got none. So anyway, we're just getting old. You creak and crack and weeble and wobble when you walk and crack when you get up and down. And seriously, when you limp, it ain't nothing wrong with you. And then when you sit down and you can't get up, you get up and you start saying, oh, I'm all stove up. That's awful when 30-year-old people that get down the altar can't get up. You watch people in the altar of this church, people in this altar, and ain't many people so old here, start getting up. Everybody in this church starts getting them, start reaching for something. Them kneeling benches ain't for you just lay your hands on to pray so you can get up when you get through. God help us. That's why people's praying. They're not praying for the lost people. They say, God help us get back up. I don't know if we'll be able to get. That's why people don't pray long. They're not praying supplication. They're just saying, Lord, I can't pray long as I'll never be able to get back up. That's awful, ain't it? It's because we're getting old. That's right. So anyway, if you're going to do something for the Lord, just get busy. Mark chapter 5, look at verse number 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh to the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she had said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he turned round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow, save Peter and James and John, the brother of Jesus. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth a tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, and saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, saith unto her, Talithai kumai, which is by interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. We see two great miracles took place here in this passage, where we've read it many times and heard this story preached on. Two great miracles took place. One man comes to Jesus, and he's a great ruler. And he's desperate. And so is the woman with the issue of blood. But this first man comes, and he's distraught. And his little girl, she's 12 years old, she's dying. Terrible condition. We don't know what her sickness was, and she's dying. And he said, Lord, please come. Please come. My daughter's dying. She's got a terrible disease, and they don't think she's going to pull through. Please come. And while he was there, talking to Jesus, while he was there talking to him, they come running up. Meanwhile, Jesus stopped and healed somebody else, and while he was there taking care of business, they come running up, and they said, Don't bother him. Your daughter's dead. Said, it's too late. I want to preach to you this morning on this theme or this subject. It ain't over till God says it's over. It ain't over till God says it's over. They begin to tell him, if you'll notice in this story, that it was too late. They come up to him, and here's a man that he had hope. He came to Jesus as his last ray of hope. Maybe the Lord can help me. I don't know what she had, and I have no idea. Just, you know, we could speculate all day long what it might have been. She could have had all kinds of diseases. And she was laid at the point of death, and he heard about Jesus. Jesus had a lot of fame going out at that time, and he heard where he was at, and he ran to him, and he said, "Master, my daughter's lying at the point of death. Will you please come?" And she's probably laying on her sick bed, probably had a fever of some kind, and she was laying there dead. Maybe, who knows, may have been pneumonia, could have been a lot of things. And the doctors were there, and somebody come to see her and said, "She's not going to pull through. Unless some kind of miracle happens, she ain't going to make it." And he heard about Jesus being down the road, and he went down there, and he begged Jesus to come, and he was just grasping at hope. And you know, if in our lives, we do everything we can do when we run to God, and Lord, we say, "God, help us. Lord, there's nothing else we can do. Would you please help us? God, come to our rescue." And that's what this man had done. And he went to him, and he said, "Lord, would you help me, my daughter?" Oh, I'll tell you something, brother. Listen, that's at the very heart of any mom or any dad. When your daughter is dying or your son is dying, there's nothing worse in this world. Your house can be burning to the ground, and it's nothing like if you're losing a child. Nothing like that. Brother, he went there to Jesus, and Jesus said, he said, "Yeah, I'll come." And the Bible said, while he was coming, he stopped and healed the woman with the issue of blood. And Jairus was standing around there. I can picture him. He's probably nervous and wanting him to hurry up and come. And here's what the Bible said. The Bible said, while he was doing that, they come running up, and they said, it's no use. They said, "Don't bother him." He said, "It's no use now. It's too late. It's too late. Might as well give up. There's no use bothering him now. It's too late. There's no use talking to him now. It's too late. She's already dead." And I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice when Jesus heard that, he didn't bother speaking to the people that brought the bad news. They say that she's already dead. I want to tell you something, folks. I've heard a lot of news in my life down through the years. I've heard a lot of "they say" in my life. I'll tell you something. There's always a lot of "they say." There's always a lot of "they say." You know, there's a lot of people tell you it's too late and it's over. There's a lot of people tell you it's over and there's no use calling on God. There's a lot of people tell you it ain't going to work. There's a lot of people tell you it's too late. There's a lot of people tell you it ain't going to work and it can't happen. They come up to Jairus and that crowd of people. There's people all over the place. They said, "It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. She's dead." And they said, "What do you mean it's too late?" They said, "Well, she was laying there and your wife was there and the family was around and she took her last breath, the poor little thing. Her fever shot up and she had a seizure and she died in your wife's arms. It was a terrible thing." And Jairus probably started crying. He said, "Oh no, it can't mean." They said, "Yes it is." And the doctor was there and he pronounced her dead, and the medical examiner came and he took her temperature and took her vital signs. He said, "Are you sure?" They said, "Hey, we're sure. They signed off on it. She's dead." He said, "I'm positive." He said, "Oh no, it can't be." And Jesus walked over there. I want to show you something here, folks. Listen, it ain't over till God says it's over. It ain't over till God says it's over. Listen, this whole world, and they'll tell you it's over. And they'll say there's no use calling on God. They'll tell you that you can't pray. And they'll tell you it's no use, that this whole Bible ain't true. And they'll say there's no use believing what the book said. But I'll tell you, the Bible said it ain't over till God says it's over. They're all standing around there telling Jairus it's too late. She's already dead. And Jesus walked over there. He didn't speak one word to "they say." He walked over and spoke to Jairus and he said, "Come on, Jairus." He said, "Don't you live down this road here? What's your address?" He didn't bother one minute to give them he didn't bother to give them one second to speak to the people that brought the bad news. He didn't bother to tell them. He didn't bother to ask them when she died. He didn't bother to get any information from the people that brought the bad news. He ignored every word they said, and he walked directly to Jairus. He said, don't worry about it. He said, let's go to your house. He said, where do you live? Which street is it? Let's go. He said, let's go to your house. They already said she was dead, and Jesus ignored every word they said and went directly to his house. Who are you going to listen to? You going to listen to they say? Jesus said, oh, you can't pay no attention to them. He said, Lord, they said she's already dead, and the doctor said she's dead, and my wife was there, and my family was there, and she took her last breath, and she died, her fever shot up, and she had a seizure, and she died, and she's laying there dead, and there's people mourning, and the funeral home's going to come pick up her body. And Jesus said, don't get ahead of yourself. I ain't been there yet. Amen. Same thing happened when Lazarus was sick. They said, he's dead, didn't he? They even wrapped him up and put him in a tomb. But Jesus said, I ain't been there yet. Amen. You better be careful about what they say till Jesus shows up. Amen. I want to say it ain't over till God says it's over. Amen. When it comes to people being saved. Yes. Amen. I remember over in the Bible, there's a man, they called him. He called himself Legion. I don't know what his name was, but Legion means 6,000. As many as 6,000, he had as many as 6,000 bad spirits in him. I've pastored people about had about half that many in them before, but anyway, that's another story. He had social problems. He had spiritual problems. He had legal problems. They had him chained. He had psychological problems. The Bible said he lived out in a cemetery. Brother, you've got problems when you live in a graveyard and you're chained down and you got handcuffs and chains and you're cutting yourself open and you're screaming and living out there at night screaming and hollering like a wild man. Brother, you've got all kinds of problems. And brother, nobody can tame you. The Bible said they tried to tame him. They went out there with whips and chairs like a wild animal and tried to tame him. Couldn't do it. Caesar Milan went out there and tried to tame him. That didn't even work. Hey, the dog whisperer couldn't do nothing with him. Brother, listen, he didn't fit in nowhere. Nobody could deal with him. Nobody wanted him. At one time, he's probably a normal person, but somehow or other, he had got possessed with evil spirits, and he wound up down there in the cemetery, and down there, brother, at the trash pile, and he just screamed at night and hollered and wailed and moaned and groaned, and they had him chained up like a wild animal. Brother, they said there's nobody can do nothing with him. Best thing we can do is leave him chained up, and every once in a while somebody go by and just throw some trash out to him and throw some scraps out to him. Just keep driving. He'll hurt somebody. Let's stay away from him. People gave up on him. Listen, society gave up on him, and the church gave up on him, and his family gave up on him. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. It ain't over till God says it's over. One evening he's sitting out there. He's probably sitting out there eating on an old molded biscuit. One evening sitting out there in the cemetery, and he looked down there across the down on the Sea of Galilee, and he's watching. He saw a little old boat come out there, and a storm came up, and this awful storm just came out on top of this little boat, and the boat got in a storm, and it was going crazy, and the wind was beating that little boat, and it was about to capsize, and he got interested in it, and he got up from off of his rock, and he walked out there, and he's watching, and he's all chained up, and he's watching that boat, and that boat was just reeling and rocking, and he saw these men on that boat throwing stuff overboard, and they were screaming and hollering, and it's about to be capsized, and all of a sudden, he watched this one man, one of them ran downstairs in that boat, and another one came back up with him, and that one man was standing there like this, and he walked out to the tip edge of that boat and went like this, and he's hollering out something real loud, and all of a sudden that storm come down and that black cloud rolled away, and all of a sudden Legion said, I want to meet that man. I want to meet him. That's the kind of man I want to meet. And he kept his eyes on that boat. He threw his molded biscuit down and he watched. And he couldn't take his eyes off that boat. And they kept coming. And they docked right in there where he was at. And brother, they docked right where he was at. And lo and behold, that man that stopped that boat And still that storm come walking right up to him, and he come right walking where he's at, and he went screaming up to him and said, "Lord, help me and have mercy on him." And Brother Listen, the Bible said they had all give up on him, and the whole world had just wrote him off and said, put him out there in the cemetery and chain him up. He's an animal. There ain't no hope for him. And Brother, the Bible said Jesus cast them demons out of him, and they ran into a herd of swine, and they ran down violently into a herd, and that herd of swine went down the hill into the lake, and Brother Jesus, Brother healed him and saved him, and he was cleaned up and put some clothes on. It ain't over till God says it's over. My mind goes way back. Does your mind go back? I remember a young teenage boy that people gave up on. I mean, I was a preacher's kid. Y'all just have to bear with me. You say, I get tired of hearing that story. I hate it. But I'm the one doing the preaching, so it's my pulpit, so I get to preach. When it's your turn to do what you say, what you want to. Some of you men's preaching Wednesday night, you lay her out there. But my mind goes back as a preacher's kid, and I got so rebellious that everybody gave up on me. I lived at home, and so I had to go to church. And there was times I moved out. There's times I would move out, and then I'd move back in, and I'd move out. And everybody just gave up on me, except for Mama. She'd keep praying for me and telling me I need to go to church. People quit inviting me to church. People got to where they'd ignore me. I remember overhearing somebody went to my daddy's church saying, "Ah, I said, them boys ain't gonna amount to nothing. Might as well just leave them alone. They ain't never gonna get in." And I remember one time me and another teenage boy that grew up in the same church, we decided we was gonna leave home and move out. We was gonna go move in with my brother in another town and work, and then we was gonna get our own place. And there's a preacher in my daddy's church come and talk to us and try to talk some sense into us. And I remember that conversation. We were sitting there listening to him. Brother Sam, we couldn't wait till he got through giving his spiel so we could get in the car and leave. He was wasting his breath. As soon as he got done, we got in the car and left. Long story, we ended up getting out and seeing and all that stuff. And then later, a few years later, when I got saved, I remember everybody just kind of wrote me off. I'd see church people. They wouldn't even invite me to church anymore. They wouldn't say, "Hey, Ronnie, when are you going to come back to church? When are you going to come to church? When are you going to get back to church?" I was out. I was on my own. I'd got out and sin. Everybody just wrote me off. But it ain't over till God says it's over. It ain't over till God says it's over. I remember one Sunday night, I was sitting out in my car, in that old Grand Prix, sitting out in my car in front of the house. One Sunday, it was a nice car. All hopped up, and then big old ET mags on it. Sitting out in the car, and I was so depressed, Brother Jeff. And I partied all the time. And I'm so ashamed of that, I hate my kids even know it. And I've done things I can't even tell the Lord I've done, and He knows I did it. And I was sitting out there in the car, and I thought, I'm doing all the things I want to do. But if this is all there is, I think I'm going to go over here to this bridge and just run it off the bridge. Serious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I sat in my car listening to Aerosmith. Sitting there listening to that junk. I thought, man, I don't even want to live. What am I going to do with my life? Is this all I'm going to do is work and ride around, cruise around, chase girls and party, and that's it? Is that it? What else is there? And that's what people want to do their whole life.
Yeah.
I got out of the car and went in the house, and they was having church after church. They was just getting ready to get down and pray. And the Holy Ghost hit me like a ball bat right between the eyes. That was it. It ain't over till God says it's over. God said, "All right, boys, this is it. Now's your time. You either get in or you're out." Boy, I got saved. You know what everybody said? Yeah, it won't last. Give him about 6 weeks. He'll be back out there. That old long-haired, dope-smoking, beer-drinking hell raiser, he won't last. Yeah, it won't last. Guess what? That old long-haired, well, that's gone. All that other junk they said, 35 years, it's stuck pretty good, brother.
Amen.
1978 to 2015, it's stuck pretty good. Yeah. Amen? It ain't because I'm good, brother. It ain't nothing about me, brother. It's because something happened deep down in my soul, brother. God dumped a keg in the backyard of my soul that night. I remember all my buddies and all my friends and everybody, all the girls and the boys, they laughed. They had a bit, they was falling on the floor laughing when they heard I got saved, especially when they heard I started preaching. They was falling down the floor laughing. They was having a fit. I'm telling you, they're having a fit, man. Saved, you start preaching. Preaching what? Yeah, you'll be wanting to buy a dime bag in a few weeks. Well, I sure hadn't bought none since. But after that, I've witnessed to some of them, they run when they see me coming. Oh, God, there comes Wilcox. Comes preacher boy. And some of them's in prison, some of them's dead. A few of them might have got saved. It ain't over till God says it's over. Amen. I want to say it ain't over till God says it's over when it comes to your family and your personal problems. When you need Jesus, God will take care of you and God will bless you. And all the problems of your life, God will take care of you and God will bless you and God will help you in all the problems of your life. I got a whole bunch of stuff here I'm not going to get to this morning. But I want to say God will take care of you. It ain't over till God says it's over.
Amen.
When it comes to God making a way out of no way. Everybody in this church this morning can stand up and testify that God has made a way in their life.
Amen.
When there was not a way. There was no way. There was no way. I was reading this week where David ran from Saul those years. And David stood over Saul when he was sleeping. David could have killed him. You remember that? God made a way. God made David. David could have killed Saul and got out of the will of God. Abishai, David's servant, stood over him. He looked at David and he had a spear. He told David, Abishai was one of them kind of guys you want on your side. He said, say the word and I'll thrust him through and I won't have to do it one time. That's the kind of guy you want on your side. He said, just say the word. David said, hold it. He said, I won't do it once. He said, I won't miss. David said, I don't want to be guilty of killing the Lord's anointed. David knew Saul was still king. God will make a way. David was being chased by Saul all those years. And David was going to be the king. And David's king was overthrown by his own son. David was being chased and overthrown by Absalom, his own son. And David went through some weird things during all those years. David even became an ally to the Philistines for several years by King Achish, if that's how you say it. You remember that? He became an ally of the Philistines for a while. Weird stuff. God will make a way when there is no way. And I'll say this, lastly. God will make a way when there... God will make a way and also... It ain't over. God says it's over. When it comes to God using a willing servant. If you want to be used of God, God will use you. It don't matter who you are. God will give you a chance to serve Him, and God will give you a chance to be used. And God will use you and give you a second chance, even if you've messed up and made a mistake, messed your life up. The reason I say that is there's a lot of people that think you have to be perfect for God to use you. But the Bible said God chooses the weak things of this world. And God uses the small things of this world. There's a person in the Bible you read about. In some places it calls him John Mark. But it's Mark. Paul and Barnabas. He went with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And we read about it. And he left them on their first journey in Acts 13. And he departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. Now think about this. Ronnie, come on the piano. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible says it calls him John. For some reason, they're in the middle of their first missionary journey. And John Mark was just a young man, and he departed from them in the middle of their missionary journey and went back to Jerusalem. And we don't know why, nobody knows. Right in the middle of their missionary trip, he just bails out and leaves and goes back. Leaves his post. They're over there on this missionary journey. And then in Acts 15, they're on the second missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas. And then they're on the second journey, and Barnabas wants to take Mark with them again, and Paul won't do it because of that. You remember reading that? Barnabas and Paul gets in this argument. And Paul won't take Mark because of that. Because they have this real sharp contention. He said, I don't want to take Mark because he departed. He's not trustworthy. He bailed out on us right in the middle of that. And nobody knows. Everybody speculated, but nobody knows why he did that. It looked bad. So, Paul took Silas and Barnabas took somebody else and they went about their ways. And so it looks like John Mark is ruined in the ministry and Paul. But if you'll read your Bible, if you'll notice, he's not all washed up. He redeems himself. He redeems himself. And Peter speaks highly of him. And I want you to look with me at a verse of Scripture in 2 Timothy. The Bible don't really tell us what he did. But Mark did something to make it right and to make himself trustworthy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. As Paul is leaving this world, you remember all those people Paul mentions when he said, come before winter? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. This is the people that's gone to other places to do different things. Only Luke is with me. Look at this. Take Mark and bring him with me, for he is profitable to me in the ministry. What a blessing. Mark made it right. Paul said he's profitable. He's a good man. Those years before when Mark departed and ran back to Jerusalem like a coward, Paul could have held that against him and said, I'll never use him, I'll never speak to him. But here is under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Paul said, bring Mark with you. He's profitable. He's a great help. Mark got a second chance. And Peter mentions him in his epistles. He calls him John, but he's talking of John Mark. John Mark's house is where they were at when they prayed for Peter. I believe it's in Acts chapter 12. They prayed him out of jail. He's at John Mark's house. Mark was Barnabas' cousin. Isn't that a blessing? It ain't over till God says it's over. The reason I'm saying all this, you might say, yeah, but preacher, you don't know what I've done since I got saved. I messed up. I made a mistake. Blah, blah, blah. This has happened and that's happened. What's your point? Do you realize that Paul is considered the greatest preacher that's ever lived besides Jesus? Of course, John the Baptist, but other than Jesus himself, they say Paul, the apostle, is the greatest apostle and the greatest preacher ever lived in the world. And Mark abandoned him in the middle of the first missionary journey in the world. Mark bailed out on him like a coward. And before Paul leaves this world, he said, whatever you do, send Mark to me. I love him. I need him. That's a pretty big commendation, ain't it? You know what Paul could have done? Paul could have ruined him. Paul could have wrote all kind of bad letters about him, but he didn't. So somewhere in those years, Mark got back up on his feet and made something out of himself with God's help. That's what you can do. That's what I can do. You know what people do? People fall, they stumble, they get down, they get out of church. They say, well, I've messed up too bad, and people's going to look bad at me. And they're, you know, I told a lady not long ago, she said, well, he would come back to church, but he's afraid of what people think. I said, so what? Who cares? I said, every one of us has done stupid stuff. Every one of us. I said, there ain't nobody at our church that ain't got scars on them. Ain't nobody. Every one of us has done crazy stuff. And even if they hadn't, who has the right to point their finger at somebody else? He that is without sin, cast the first stone. Besides, this is a hospital for sinners. This is for hurting people. This is not for the righteous. This is a place for hurting people. I said, tell him this is a place for people that's messed up their life. That's what a church is. Tell him. Tell him I said that. Tell him we want him back. But that's what the devil does. He specializes. It ain't over till God says it's over. You know what's supposed to happen when a person falls and wrecks their life and messes it up and they're all beat up and banged up? They're supposed to get up and come back, and we're supposed to take them back and start again. That's what they're supposed to do. You know what my daddy used to tell people all the time? He'd say, well, ask God to forgive you and try not to do it again. Now just come on back to church. I've seen people that's deacons before, or choir leaders, or Sunday school teachers, backslide, get out of church, and mess up, and get out of church completely. And it's hard for them to ever get back in because they held that high position, and they felt like, I could never get back in because I can't start down here at the bottom again because what people think of me. So what? Start at the bottom, and then after a while, come on back up through the ranks again. You can do it. You did it the first time. It don't take forever. Lord will bless you. He'll honor you. The church will bless you. The church will honor you. Right? That's the way it works. You got to. God will bless somebody and give them a second chance. The Bible's full of people that had second chances. The Bible's full of those people. All those people. Just about everybody in the Bible messed up their life and God gave them a second chance. Moses was a murderer. Paul had people killed. David committed adultery. Abraham told lies. All through the Bible. There ain't nobody in the Bible that didn't do something crazy. But it ain't over till God says it's over. You say, preacher, you don't realize we're having marital problems and it looks like it's just about over, but you know what? It ain't over yet. You say, well, they say it ain't over till the fat lady sings. That ain't in the Bible. It ain't over. The fat lady can sing all she wants to. But it ain't over till God says it's over. You believe that this morning? Let's stand.